Live from the Geico Outkick Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Last night, I think LeBron James officially realized that he's done in the Eastern Conference. I believe he looked around at the team that surrounded him. I think he went back and looked at the box score, and I think he said, you know what? These Celtics are a lot better than my team now, and they don't even have their top two players. Let me just run through some of these numbers from last night's game. The Celtics won by 13 after winning by 25. They won by 20 if you don't consider the first half. So in 6 of 8 of these quarters so far, it hasn't even been remotely close. LeBron came out and scored 21 in the first quarter. He shot 16 for 29, 5 for 11 from 3. He put up 42, 12, and 10. Almost impossible for him to do more than what he did last night. Kevin Love played pretty well. 9 of 18 from the field, 22 points, 15 rebounds. Even Tristan Thompson, who sometimes doesn't show up at all, got yelled at on the floor, got a technical foul, but he went for 8 and 7. And Kyle Korver, who usually is that kind of extra scorer who makes a difference, scored 11 points, got into double figures. And the Cavs still lost by 13 points. Here's some other stats for you. They outshot the Boston Celtics from the floor. They were at 46%. The Celtics were at 43%. And the two teams shot the exact same from three-point. And the Cavs out-rebounded by one. So effectively, when you hear all those stats, the Cavs had everything go pretty much the way they needed to go to win game two, and they still lost by 13. That is an ominous, ominous thought and an ominous, ominous time for LeBron James when you look at this overall landscape of this series. I think the Cavs more likely will be swept than they will win this series 4 out of 5 down the stretch. And we're going to get so many intriguing and interesting questions that spiral out of this performance. First of all, I think there's no chance that LeBron James is going to be back with the Cavs. The Cavs got the 8th overall pick in the draft lottery. It's not like they're going to be able to remake their team in any way based on what happened in the draft lottery. It's not like they have that many assets to be able to go out and get another big-time player. They recognized that they had put together a bad roster. They tried to bring this roster in halfway through the season. It's like changing a tire on a car that's moving at full speed. Eventually, things are going to fall apart, and that's what's happened with the Cleveland Cavaliers. The mentally weak Toronto Raptors confused us a bit, but the Cavs are what we thought they were from Series 1. They're an okay team. They are what we thought they were from the entirety of the NBA regular season. They're just an okay team. And right now, the Boston Celtics, even without Kyrie Irving and even without Gordon Hayward, are exposing LeBron James' team. Not really exposing LeBron James because he's doing everything that he possibly can. This team's just not very good. And as a result, I think LeBron James is going to leave the Cavs. I don't see any way under the sun that he remains with the Cleveland Cavaliers when he turns 34 years old next year. I think he's going to go down to Houston. I think tonight, Golden State Warriors are going to win game two. I think everybody's going to take a step back and say, man, so much for these series being really good. And I think there's a decent chance the Rockets get swept. And I think the Celtics are going to win this series in 5 against the Cavs. And then I think the Celtics are going to get lobotomized by the Golden State Warriors this year. But a lot of people are going to ask the question, including me, what would have happened this year if Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward had been healthy on this Celtics team? Could they have potentially been able to contend with the Golden State Warriors? I think that's a legitimate question. But right now, this series is effectively over. It's not just that the Celtics have won. It's that they've won by 25 and 13. These games haven't really been close outside of the first half. LeBron James put everything he had into that first quarter. He made every shot, including that crazy wild three-pointer. And the Cavs came undone. I thought that Jeff Van Gundy summed it up well when he said, maybe better than anybody else, when he said the Cavs eye roll each other more than a couple in a bad marriage. That was right before they were making fun of the bald guy who was out there cleaning the court. It's a pretty good segment. I know Mark Jackson and Van Gundy come under fire a lot, but I think they're actually pretty decent. They remind me of Stapper Jones and Bill Walton back in the day on the old, I think it was NBC broadcast. And I got to tell you, in addition to the fact that these Cavs don't like each other, you also had J.R. Smith throwing in a blatantly flagrant foul that should have gotten him kicked out of the game. And frankly, I think if you're going to suspend people for plays, this should be a suspension too. And this is an amazing stat right now. The Celtics, as a franchise, are 37-0 all-time, went up 2-0 in a series. And John Campbell has told us multiple times, there's a 94% chance when you win the first two games in an NBA series that you go on and win that series. So is it possible that LeBron James and the Cavs could get hot and win 4 out of 5? Yes, but I think it would require the Boston Celtics to fall apart a little bit. Now, as you look at this series, the Celtics have not lost at home yet. They are now 9-0 at home in the NBA playoffs. They have only won once on the road. So I do think there's a decent chance the Cavs come back in Cleveland and win both of those games, and we come back to Boston for a deciding Game 5. I think there's also a decent chance that the Celtics split with the Cavs, and I think if the Celtics go out and are able to win Game 3, I think the Cavs are just going to quit. So I think it'll end in a sweep if the Celtics can go out and win Game 3. So this series, I think we're going to find out in a big way, does the NBA have a league, or do they have a really good player who plays in a league? Because I think if you go look at the amount of attention that the NBA gets, about 40% of it right now is rooted in LeBron James. If LeBron James is not playing, I think about 40% of people dial out on the NBA. That doesn't mean that everybody loves LeBron James. It means that LeBron James is the straw that stirs the drink. He is the guy that makes people care about the NBA. I think a Celtics-Warriors title series in the NBA Finals, nobody's going to watch it. Because I think they're going to believe what I believe, which is the Warriors are going to win easily. And there's no real intriguing reason to care about the Celtics. Now, your hardcore NBA basketball fans always like, oh, there's lots of really good young players. I think the Celtics are fun to watch. The nation doesn't care. The nation wants superstars. And LeBron James is a superstar, whether he wins or loses. We had 15 years to build up interest in him. He is the sequel. He is the Avenger. He is the Marvel comic book superhero. He's the one who puts butts in the seats. Warriors don't do it. LeBron does it, whether you love or hate him. And I think he's about to shuffle off the stage here. He'll be back next year at 34. I think he'll be with the Houston Rockets. I don't buy him going to the Lakers because I don't buy into the idea that he wants to sit on the sideline for the next 3 or 4 years and not contend for a title. I think that makes LeBron James irrelevant. I think right now LeBron James is desperately in need of relevance. And so I think he'll go to the Houston Rockets. I really do. I think it's a no-brainer at this point that that's where he's going to end up. I think the odds of him being with the Lakers or with the Cavs are minimal. And again, I just don't buy into the fact that he's going to go to L.A. and be the third or fourth or fifth best team in the West and have absolutely no chance to advance anywhere in the playoffs. You want to be involved in L.A.? You want to be involved in entertainment? Win some more championships. Makes you better in entertainment. But how about the Cavs falling apart on top of all this? How about J.R. Smith's foul? How about the lack of defense? It's one thing to lose. It's another thing to be giving up wide open threes and nobody even rotates and runs at a guy. Saw the same thing from the Houston Rockets. One extra pass is made by Golden State or the Celtics. There's a guy wide open behind the three-point line, and there isn't even the effort made to run at the shooter. Not even anybody willing to make a move at all. They just stand there flat-footed and allow the wide-open jumper. How does that happen in the Eastern and the Western Conference Finals? A lot of talk about offense, how talented the Golden State Warriors are, how young the Boston Celtics are. How about effort? If you just watch some of these plays on super slow motion, you just went and grabbed 20 different defensive efforts last night, you would look at that and you would say, I can't believe those guys are making millions of dollars a year to play basketball, and that this is, like Van Gundy said, not the back-and-back. You know, not a back-and-back in the middle of the regular season. This is Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals on the road, a must-win game, and he can't even challenge a three-point shooter? looked a lot like the Rockets, honestly. How many of those threes on Monday night from Klay Thompson were wide open with nobody else around? I think the Cavs are done. I really do. Now, tempering that a bit is the fact that the Celtics have not been good on the road. They're just 1-4 so far on the road. I got to ask you this. Is there actually less talent on this Cavs team total than in the first two opponents that the Boston Celtics played in the Eastern Conference Finals? But from a raw talent perspective, if you were just lining up right now in the NBA, LeBron James is the best player in the NBA. I don't think anybody would argue that right now. Kevin Durant is a close second, and I think could, in the next year and a half, surpass LeBron James. But right now, LeBron James is the best basketball player in the country, in the world. How many people out there would take Kevin Love that high in their draft of available players in the NBA? And then after Kevin Love, I don't even know who the third best player on the Cavs is. Kyle Korver's 37. He can come in and score double digits every now and then if he's wide open and people forget to guard him like they did in the second quarter of that game last night, the Celtics did. But in general, I guess Tristan Thompson when he's not having a Kardashian implosion. But he's way down the list. Celtics have so many good young players and their best players aren't even on the court right now. This feels a bit to me, the way J.R. Smith behaved, the way the Cavs team body language is in general, there isn't a transcendent player like Michael Jordan when the Detroit Pistons went down. Remember when Jordan finally got past the Pistons? How the Pistons walked off the court without shaking hands with him in that sweep? There isn't that player that everybody's going to focus on in the Celtics. If Kyrie were playing, it might be him. If Gordon Hayward were playing, it might be him. But I feel like the Cavs are going to go out like the Pistons did back in the day. Ugly. I think we could get a real brawl in this game. I wouldn't shock me if the Cavs refused to shake hands after this series. I think this is going to be the passing of the torch. LeBron James giving up the ghost in the Eastern Conference. He's not going to the finals. I don't think LeBron will do it, but I think the guys that surround LeBron are likely to be petulant, walk off the court, not shake hands. I think we're headed for an ending like we saw with the Detroit Pistons and the Chicago Bulls. And what that represented effectively was a transfer of power. When the Pistons walked off the court without shaking hands with the Bulls, it was an acknowledgement that the Bulls were the new champs. I think the Celtics are close to becoming the new champs of the Eastern Conference, potentially for years to come. Because when they get their full roster back, what you saw last night is a pale approximation of how brilliant their future can be. We got Jeff Shorts joining us next. I am Clay Travis. I appreciate you starting your Wednesday mornings with us across the country. And we will be joined by him in the next segment. We'll also continue to break down the results from last night, talk a little bit about the Warriors going up against the Rockets. Can they take both games on the road? That game going on tonight in Houston. And the NBA, I'll tell you this much, desperately rooting for the Rockets to find a way to get that win. Otherwise, we potentially could be heading for two sweeps or two five-game series. The Rockets and the NBA need them to win like no other. I appreciate you guys. This is Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio. You're never alone with OnStar. Specially trained advisors always there, ready to help 24/7. OnStar, be safe out there. Speaking of being safe, we got Jeff Shorts on, and his kids are usually pretty safe with us in the morning because we can hear him in the background. Jeff, were you watching last night? Do you think LeBron's done?
LeBron is done. You mean the Cavs are done?
Yes.
You know, I was going to tweet something like that, and then I realized that LeBron, because he beat the Warriors when they were down 3-1, I can't say they're done. I just question LeBron's willingness to keep having games like this because that's a lot of energy. I mean, he put up, 40, 10, and 12?
Yes.
And he got blown out. Like, I don't know if he's willing to keep exerting all this energy to get blown out. We've seen him at times kind of just decide to pack in. We've seen Kobe do this, right? He just decided, like, I can't play with these guys anymore. I'm just not going to give the same effort. And I just don't know how lot of energy. And to get blown out like that when you give your best effort, J.R. Smith has more flagrant fouls and points. And no one run. I think Hood played, started, and ended up with zeros across the board as well. He's got to be tired of it.
Now, LeBron was great. He had a triple-double. He did have 7 turnovers in Game 1 and 6 turnovers in Game 2, which to me is just evidence that he's trying to do too much because he knows he has to be phenomenal in order for the Cavs to have a chance at all to win this series. What do you think is going to happen tonight? Obviously, you've got Game 2 in the Warriors-Rockets series. Are you buying into the idea that the Rockets are good enough to make this a series, or do you think the Warriors are just going to steal their soul tonight by winning the first two at home?
Well, I think this is the only game that I would feel comfortable even betting on the Rockets to win. I did not. I bet the Warriors are still getting a point, which is absolutely ridiculous. But this is the only game I think the Rockets have a chance to win. If they go down 0-2, they're not winning Golden State unless the Warriors get super bored in Game 4. But I think the Warriors would rather just close it out. I mean, I was watching a game last night, the Celtics-Cavs, and I was just thinking to myself, man, LeBron's playing his butt off. The Celtics are hustling, diving all over the place, and they are both going to get blown out by the Warriors. I mean, they have no chance. You have Steph Curry that has an off night, but, oh, here's Durant putting up whatever. He's 35. Klay Thompson doing what he did. Draymond Green didn't really score very much. And tonight it could be Steph Curry with 35, but Durant with only 20. Like, you just they're almost an unstoppable force, and maybe the Rockets win tonight. This is probably their only chance. If not, they get swept.
Yeah, I think that there is no doubt that the Warriors are going to win tonight. All right, let's go to sports gambling. You played in the NFL for 8 years, whatever the heck it was, a decent amount of time. How much talk about the lines or spreads or gambling was there in NFL locker rooms when you played?
Zero. I obviously gamble now, but there was no talk of it in the locker room. I don't remember one instance where I even knew the line of a game. I mean, at times you knew you were underdogs. If the media asked you, how do you feel about being an underdog this week? Or you know, lack of respect, your coach brought up that you were an underdog. But there was zero talk of any lines. You know, we would do maybe on the weekend, we'd do like a college football, sheet where you just, fill out and pick winners. And maybe that was with the line, maybe it wasn't. But that was just in our offensive line room. And it was just very harmless. But I did not know anything about spreads. No one cared. I mean, what does it matter? Your job's to win the game. It doesn't matter what the spread is.
So do you think with the Supreme Court ruling and the fact that gambling is probably going to become talked about more, that will change the way people talk in locker rooms, or do you think nothing's going to change?
I think nothing will change in locker rooms unless they allow you to bet on yourself, which I don't really think is going to happen. I don't think it's going to change very much. I think it's going to change in sports media. I mean, you're going to have to cover it. I have a show we're working on for another network that should be out soon. It's going to be on a major platform. It's a gambling show. I mean, it's a 15, 20-minute gambling show every day. I think it's something that has to be done. You're going to have to cover it now. I think ESPN is slowly starting to do it with Scott Van Pelt and some other people that actually supposedly they had a gambling show this year on like ESPNU or something on the weekends that no one really knew about, but it was there. And before games, if it's Fox, they're gonna have to cover the lines before the games. I think you're gonna have to do it now. It's gonna be part of the culture. I put up a poll last night. I was very surprised by the results. I said if you don't gamble now and your state makes it legal, will you be more willing to gamble? And I think it was like 58% said yes. I was shocked by that number because I just don't see it. I don't think people are going to rush out that don't gamble now and really start gambling, because you can do it now if you want. You can just, like we do, we can go online, go to Overseas Book and fill out your bets and bet every night. So I just don't see the rush that there will be to gamble. Everyone will just start gambling. I don't really see that happening.
I think there are a lot of people, and I said this yesterday on the show, who, for instance, would not seek out marijuana, but when they go to Colorado and edibles are legal, they will go buy edibles and consume them, right? And I think there are a lot of people who, if alcohol were not legal, like back in Prohibition, certainly there were people who loved alcohol and would do whatever they had to get liquor, to get beer, even though it was not allowed to be sold. But I think consumption of alcohol skyrocketed when it was easily available. And I think if sports gambling is easily available, there are a lot more people that will do it, because there's always those people who are just a little bit apprehensive. They're a little bit afraid. They don't want to give their credit card number to somebody they don't trust. They don't like going online. But suddenly, you know, I think Vegas is a great example, because I think there are lots of people who go to Vegas and decide to bet on sporting events while they're there just because it's a fun thing to do. I think that'll happen with sports gambling early. Now, how many of those people stay? I think that's another interesting question, because some people just hate losing money, right? Like the joy of winning some bets is totally overwhelmed by the pain of losing. Yeah. To me, it's like having a beer with a game. To me, I would like to sit on a couch, and if I'm out with buddies, I would like to have a couple of beers while I watch a game, or nachos, or you know, wings, or whatever it is. And that makes the game better. I think that that probably is true for the majority of sports fans when they actually test it out. You're new to sports gambling, relatively. Doesn't it make the games a lot more entertaining to you? And it's not like you're betting enough money to fundamentally alter your life in any way.
Well, I barely bet any money. I mean, I find myself watching random ninth innings of baseball games to see if my team can score enough points or whatever it is, score of runs. I agree with you that people will do it if it's in front of them, and I believe – you know, that if NFL teams or NBA teams or Major League Baseball teams, I don't know if we'll see this thing I'm going to get to with NCAA, but, you know, if they model themselves after, you know, the English Premier League, where they have a kiosk at the stadium, I think you'll see that skyrocket. I think people will be drinking a little bit, they'll feel good about their team, or they'll be an underdog and they want to put $20 down, $100 down to be able to hold a physical ticket during the game, where they're, you know, rooting for their team already, and now you can add a little money to it. I think that will skyrocket. People will just casually bet at sporting events because that's right in front of their face. Like you said, when you go to Vegas, you sit in a sports book, it's fun. You put a couple bucks here and there. But I think that people will realize that you pretty much, unless you really don't, you know, unless you know what you're doing, you're going to lose money. And I think eventually, like you said, it's going to wear off when you realize that there are people that do this for a living, and they, you know, they prey on random public people who want to bet.
Yeah, I think it is intriguing to think about what the future of sports gambling will look like, and also what the future of how games are covered will look like. And I don't know the answer, but I do think it's going to change pretty substantially. On the NFL front, there hasn't been a lot of news out there in general. I don't remember if we really asked you about this, but one of the lingering stories in the NFL is Ben Roethlisberger and the way that he treated his his backup. I mean, this thing has kind of hung out there a little bit. When you were in the NFL and a high-priced rookie came in, how much tension did that create in the locker room? Like, how much did you feel like you needed to mentor a young guy versus also understanding simultaneously, this guy's trying to take my job and literally he may be able to take away my ability to earn a living?
Well, when I was a rookie, Jordan Gross, who's now retired, mentored me, took me under his wing. I don't think I would have been the player I was. I don't know if I would have survived the NFL without having that mentor. So I owe a lot of success to him. He knows this. And so I always tried to be a mentor to the young players. I never felt threatened by anyone that was drafted. I mean, so what? There's competition every year. The NFL's their goal, scouts' goal, is to try to find someone better than you every offseason or during the season, whatever the case is. As far as Big Ben, you know, look, there's no unwritten rule or written rule that says you have to be a mentor. And I've always wondered this. You know, we talk about Tom Brady, and he's had a bunch of backups, and you know, he's never, I don't know if he's ever been really labeled a great mentor. I mean, you don't have to be. I don't think we've had anyone publicly come out and say that they're not going to do it. And look, Big Ben has a point about the Steelers draft. You don't draft a quarterback in the third round to really replace your starter. That's not a, you know, you draft him in the first round to be, you know, to be the eventual starter. A third round draft pick is like, you know, he's going to be a good backup, and maybe he'll be the starter one day, but we don't really know yet, and you know, we kind of have to see how he does. The Steelers are in a win now mode. I mean, they have an opportunity to win now, and they basically wasted a third round draft pick on a quarterback when they have a capable backup who wins games for them when Big Ben is out. So I understand Ben's frustration that they did not improve their team with this draft pick.
What do you think? You're in Charlotte. We finally got news that David Tepper, I believe is his name, is going to be buying the team from Jerry Richardson there. The Carolina Panthers reportedly selling for, I believe, $2.2 billion. What's the vibe in Charlotte and in North Carolina, South Carolina in general about this transaction?
Well, $2.2 billion in cash, pretty remarkable. And he still has, what, $8 or $9 billion left over. It's remarkable. I can't even imagine something like that. He's obviously just very different than Jerry Richardson, it seems like, from the way that what I've read about him. I don't know if that's a welcome change or not. I think that what fans here are most worried about is the Panthers moving, and he said that he will not move them. And then it comes down to a stadium. Look, Bank of America Stadium, I think, is still functional. It's a grass field. It's outdoors. I like both those things. The weather here in Charlotte is good enough where you really don't need to have a dome stadium. People are worried that they will try to build a dome stadium, and then obviously they'll try to get some money from the taxpayers to make that happen. I just don't see the need in having a dome stadium here. The location, I don't know if you've been here, it's right in the middle of Uptown. It's right in the middle of everything. You can walk everywhere. You know, they're talking about moving it somewhere else, putting a dome on the stadium and having, you know, a Super Bowl here once, and then having a college football playoff maybe, and maybe having a Final Four. It doesn't seem to make sense to build a billion-dollar stadium to maybe have some events. I like the stadium the way it is, and I think fans are happy at least that he said he's going to keep the team in Charlotte.
And the purchase price to me is also an intriguing story, because $2.2 billion is maybe a little bit less than the NFL was hoping for. Do you think that and this comes on the heels of reports that the Tennessee Titans had wanted to sell their team for maybe a lot more than the overall value was. Do you think franchise values in the NFL have peaked?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, look, the Bills in 2014 sold for $1 billion less than this. I mean, that's a big jump in 4 years. Jerry Richardson said he wanted $3 billion. I think that's kind of ludicrous. I don't know what other teams would go for. I mean, Charlotte's the Panthers are in a smaller market. They've not won a Super Bowl. They've not had back-to-back winning seasons yet in their entire franchise in 22 years. That's remarkable, considering they've been to two Super Bowls. And they made the playoffs four out of the last 5 years. One of those years, they were 7-8-1. So I don't think that the franchise is going to be valued as highly as other franchises. I mean, I think the Cowboys are still going to be in the $4-4.5 billion range. I think the sale price feels about right. I know that maybe they wanted, 2.5 or 3 million. But I don't really think that, I think values are still going up. But eventually they're going to even out, and when that is, I don't know.
All right. We're talking to Jeff Shorts. We do every single Wednesday, an hour two. If you were advising LeBron James right now, if LeBron James came to you, obviously the biggest story in sports right now is what's going on with I would say the Cavs right now, because I think the Warriors are going to win game two. And I think LeBron, there's more drama surrounding him than there is anything surrounding the Warriors or the Rockets. Where would you advise LeBron James to sign next year?
I would say Houston's out. I mean, to me, with that style of offense they play, just basically dribble for 20 seconds and chuck up a three, that style has not worked in the playoffs. I mean, D'Antonio has not won very much in the playoffs. I wouldn't want to go there. I wouldn't want to go to play with James Harden, who, look, great player, he won the MVP, had a fantastic year, but they're just not going to get the ball as much as you used to. And I know LeBron wants the ball in his hands. That's part of the issue about going to Philly as well, is Simmons will have the ball in his hands, and maybe LeBron will be able to acquiesce some of that. But I just think he's tired of having to carry his team. He's tired of having to score 40 a night to just contend in these games. So which opportunity provides him the chance to not do as much? I think that is Philly, because they're young, and Bede and Simmons can go ahead and score when necessary, maybe not Simmons so much. And then the Lakers. Look, the Lakers allure, I think, is just playing for that franchise. And if you were able to build up a third franchise, and building the Lakers up would be more of a task than the Sixers or obviously the Rockets, who are pretty much set in place. That's one thing that he can say that he's done better or more often than Jordan. I mean, he built the Cavs, he built the Heat, and now he can go to Los Angeles and build one of the premier franchises into a champion again. So I think it's Philly or Los Angeles. I just don't see him meshing very well in Houston. And as well, you know, Philly is in an easier conference. I know the Celtics could be good for many years, but we know if he leaves the Cavs, they're done, and he owns the Raptors. So I think Philly just seems like a logical choice to me.
Good stuff, as always. Jeff Schwartz, we will talk to you next week.
Yep, take care, guys.
You can follow Jeff on Twitter at GEOFFSCHWARTZ. I am Clay Travis. Hour two, final segment coming up next. But first, let me bring in Eddie Garcia, find out what's shaking in the world of sports.
Well, let's give you your Geico playoff report. We start in the NBA playoffs with Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals, where the Celtics beat the Cavaliers 107-94. Jaylen Brown led Boston with 23 points, and he was one of six different Celtics players to score in double digits. Boston now 9-0 at home this postseason, and they lead Cleveland 2-0. In this series, LeBron James for the Cavs did have a triple-double, 42 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists. In defeat. NHL playoffs, Game 3 Eastern Conference Finals. Lightning beat the Capitals in D.C. 4-2. Tampa Bay defenseman Victor Hedman had a goal and two assists. Washington still has a 2-1 series lead as the road team has won every game so far in the series. This report is brought to you by TrueCar Online Car Shop. It can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from TrueCar. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car. So visit TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. It's also time for our Geico Play of the Day.
Tatum attacks the paint, reverses it up, no good. Smart flies in for an offensive rebound, puts it off the window and in. And a night that began as a masterpiece being painted by LeBron has been graffitied up by Marcus Smart.
WBZ 98.5, the Sports Hub and the Celtics Radio Network on the call. Marcus Smart, 10 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, helping Boston to get the win. That's our Geico Play of the Day.
Good stuff as always. Eddie Garcia there. We come back. You might think you have a bad marriage. You might think you had a rough Mother's Day. You ain't heard nothing yet. You're going to want to hear what happened to a PGA player, his wife, and his mom. It was ugly. Be glad you ain't Lucas Glover. Lucas Glover. That's next on Fox Sports Radio. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Maybe you had a rough Mother's Day weekend. Maybe you thought to yourself, this dinner could have gone a little bit better. This brunch, my mimosas could have been better. Could have gone a little bit smoother. It probably was better than what happened to Lucas Glover. Now, Lucas Glover, I believe, won the U.S. Open back in 2009. He is 38 years old. And he is a pretty successful golfer. His wife, listen to this story. This is all from the Daily Mail. Golfer Lucas Glover's wife was arrested at the PGA Players Championship inside of a house that they were renting right off the course after attacking him after a poor round of golf on Saturday, calling him a pussy willow and a loser. And I read further. She was arrested at a rented house in Ponte Vedra Beach Saturday. That's where the Players Championship golf course is. After she allegedly verbally and physically attacked her husband and his mother, a police report says that officers responded around 8:30 that night, found Glover and his mom injured. He had played at the Players Championship early that day. He said his wife regularly yells at him whenever he plays poorly. She said to have been drinking, and there were fresh lacerations to his arm, multiple lacerations to both of his mom's arms. His mom is 62 years old. This woman, and you look at her, and I hate to say it, she's got crazy eyes. She was charged with domestic battery and resisting arrest after she refused to get in the backseat of a squad car. When she was arrested, 36-year-old Lucas Glover's wife said, quote, "This is why cops get shot in the face. Wait till I talk with the judge. You will be effing fired over this." This is a pretty rough stuff. He played, Lucas Glover told deputies his wife gets violent every time he doesn't play well in a major PGA tournament. This is a pretty crazy story. I mean, I read this and I was like, holy hell. I mean, I feel bad for this guy. Now, he has since released a statement on Twitter saying, on May 12th, my wife and mother were involved in an argument to which the police were called. Everyone is fine. Regrettably, although Krista was charged, we are comfortable the judicial system is able to address what actually happened, and Krista will be cleared. We thank you for respecting our privacy. The attack was allegedly in front of their two young kids. Lucas told deputies how, quote, when he plays a bad round of golf, Krista proceeds to start an altercation with him and tell him how he's a loser and a pussy willow, how he needs to fire everyone, and how he'd better win or she and the kids will leave him and he will never see them again. At Sawgrass, Glover started the tournament well on Thursday, just two strokes behind the leaders. He started losing ground Friday and Saturday, didn't even play on Sunday. He was listed in the final leaderboard as MDF, meaning he made the cuts but didn't finish. The reason why he didn't finish, because his wife attacked him and they had to get her arrested. This is just a crazy, crazy story. You can read the police report. And deputies were called to this this situation. Jason Martin, I mean, I read this and I think, man, I feel really bad for Lucas Glover. Can you imagine if this story, if he were the attacker, if he were alleged to have scratched her in any way, if he were alleged to have done anything, if he were alleged to scream insults at her after a poor round of golf and threatened to take the kids and everything else, I think this would be a much bigger story. We tend to think of domestic violence as only going in one direction. And even when it happens on the woman to the man, we tend to laugh it off, i.e. what happened with Elon Woods. If Tiger Woods had attacked his wife with a golf club, he'd still be in prison, probably. Elon Woods allegedly does it, and it turns into a funny Saturday Night Live skit. But there are a lot of broken relationships out there. I'm not sure where you when you know when it's broken, but when the police get called and your wife gets arrested and she attacks your mom, I think it's probably time to call that relationship quits.
Yeah, Lucas Glover, pride of Clemson University. Not necessarily the best year for the Tigers so far, not winning the Natty. And then this happening, the two things that stood out, and you actually called both of them. When I looked at this mugshot, now I went and looked at other photos of her. She's a lovely woman. But she does have crazy eyes. Like, there's no doubt about those crazy eyes. And
every
in that mugshot, it's frightening.
Every guy out there right now, and I think a lot of women too, have seen a photo. Like, if I give you three female photos, you can pick the girl that's crazy just by looking at the photo. I mean, I think there's a lot of women who can do it too. Like, you give me three pictures, and I can see some crazy eyes, and I can be like, I don't want to be anywhere near that chick. I certainly don't want to be married to her. And when you hear these details, I mean, man, the poor, like, I actually read that. I mean, the guy won the U.S. Open.
Yeah, he won it at Pinehurst. I remember it. He won it going away, too. It was actually pretty impressive. But you imagine the pressure that you get on Sundays when you're potentially going to win a major and win a golf tournament. Sometimes you nut up and you can't make putts. Imagine the pressure Lucas Glover's under on Friday. If he doesn't make the cut, because he knows what's happening as soon as he gets back to that cabin, just the idea that he actually told police, yeah, she usually starts arguments and calls me names when I don't play well.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that's
what are you talking about?
I mean, that's crazy because, again, he is a high-level golfer. And it's not as if he's like a mechanic who's about to get laid off. Like, you should never get yelled. You should have some support in the home regardless. But, man, I read this, and I was just blown away by it. And let me go out to L.A., you guys. Did you guys see this story prior to me telling you this?
Yes. And imagine, Clay, if you married Krista, and she was Krista Travis, and you came home from the studio, and she's standing there tapping her foot. I don't know, Clay, that was a pretty weak Animal Thunderdome this morning.
There are times we do the show and I'm like, I think that could have gone better. The last thing I want to do is get home and have my wife call me a pussy willow and say I'm a loser and she's going to take the kids away because I did a crappy hour of radio.
Your callers really sucked this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a ton of pressure. On the other hand, you would try to take something good out of this that would, you know, propel you to do better, even better at your profession.
No, I disagree. I would. He has to get divorced, first of all.
Yes.
If this happened, this is one of those things where every now and then if you have friends, they need to step in and be like, okay, dude, it's just not working out here. And in addition to the fact that they have two young kids, this is a huge, massive warning light that is like you're driving on empty here. You got to get out of this relationship and you got to get away from this crazy chick. And you got to get your kids away from this crazy chick, because can you imagine them having to watch mom treat dad like this? It's an unbelievable story. Props to Lucas Glover for not being violent here. But, man, he's got to get out of this relationship. Final hour next. Live from the Geico Outkick Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. If you were waking up across the country this morning, the big question, I think, is pretty straightforward. Are LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers officially done? Is LeBron's reign atop the NBA's Eastern Conference over? And I think there is a legitimate argument to be made that yes is the answer, clearly, after the way Game 2 went down. We're going to break it down for you, but right now we have a poll question up for you. I just tweeted it out, and it's simple. Are LeBron and the Cavs done? Over 1,000 of you have voted in the first 4 minutes, 5 minutes of this poll, and 70% of you are saying yes, you believe LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers are done. Now, in order to not be done, they will need to win 4 of their next 5 games, and those 4 of the next 5 wins must come, including, and I think this is kind of key, 2 of those would have to come on the road, probably. But now they still, to be fair, have an opportunity to get 3 home wins, and then they would just have to win 1 game out of 2 in Boston. And if you break it down that way, I think it sounds somewhat doable, right? Because the Boston Celtics have not been very good on the road. So if I am the Cleveland Cavaliers right now, I say, okay, we're not going to lose at home. I mean, I think that's the way you have to think right now, down 0-2. If you come back and win game 3, then you put a lot of pressure on them going into game 4, and then all the pressure is on them going back to Boston for game 5. And even if you lose that one, you can say, okay, we're going to win game 6, and then all the pressure is going to be back on them for game 7. So all you have to do, if you're the Cavs right now and you're thinking down the line, winning 4 out of 5 sounds tough, but it doesn't sound as tough when you say, hey, we just got to win our home games, and we got to win 1 out of 2 in Boston in order to win this series. Having said that, there are a lot of alarming details of what we saw last night. I'm going to run through several of them. First, LeBron James came out and went for 42-12-10, and his team still lost by 13. Kevin Love, 22-15, pretty solid. Kevin Love and LeBron James combined to take the vast majority of the shots that this team would take, the Cleveland Cavaliers, all night. They shot over 50% from the floor, and they shot a really high percentage, 7 out of 17 from 3, those two guys combined. And guess what? The Cavs still lost by 13 points. In fact, the Cavs actually shot a higher percentage from the floor, 46% to the 43% of the Boston Celtics. They shot the exact same from three-point range. Both teams were 10 for 31. From a rebounding perspective, this game was almost identical. The Celtics had one more rebound. What troubled me more than anything was the way everybody responded on the Cavs when the second half really started to go badly. I thought Jeff Van Gundy summed it up really, really well when he said, the Cavs look like a married couple. The way they roll their eyes, they look like, is a direct quote, the Cavs eye roll each other more than a couple in a bad marriage. All-time great live radio, live television, wherever it is, live line to break down what he was seeing on the court in real time. The other thing was, the Cavs' second half defense was flat out atrocious. They gave up so many open looks, and a couple of times they gave up open looks, and they didn't even have a man running at a three-point shooter. That reminded me a lot of what we saw in the game 1 between the Warriors and the Rockets. How many times did it feel like Klay Thompson was standing all by himself around the three-point line, just taking his time, and nobody even makes an effort to even move in his direction? It's like everybody's trying to save energy. And a part of me wonders whether LeBron James is ultimately in this series going to just dial it out and say, you know what? I did everything I could to win game two. I don't think this team has any chance to actually win a title. Now, maybe continuing his title streak is important to LeBron James. I don't know why it would be. I don't know why going to the finals and losing is somehow preferable to losing in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think a big story here, and we will see because there are a bunch of days now. I don't believe game three in this series now is till Saturday, right? So we've got Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. The Cavs have a lot of time to sit around and contemplate how to get back into this series, having lost two games now by a combined 38 points in Boston. It's not just the Cavs have lost, it's that they have lost big. Now, let me give you a positive story for the Cavs. And I said this yesterday before we came into game two. I said, if you go look at the Cavs, they have now, I think it's fair to say, gotten blown out three times. This wasn't necessarily a blowout. It trended right on it in the second half, but when you're up seven at the first half, you can't say it's a blowout. So, close games. Games decided in the final 5 minutes, and this was not one of them. The Cavs are still 6-1. So, I don't think they're going to blow out the Celtics in game three or game four in Cleveland on Saturday and on Monday, but I do think they'll go back to Cleveland. I think they will win game three, and then we'll see what happens. Because if the Celtics go win game three, the series is over and it's probably going to be a sweep. I don't think there's any way the Celtics are going to win game three. But man, is this over? I want to bring in the crew. Do you guys believe this series is over? Poll question is up. You can find me on Twitter at Clay Travis. You can go vote on that. It's amazing sometimes to see how quickly you guys dive into these polls. Are LeBron and the Cavs done? That poll has been up for 10 minutes. 3,000 of you have voted in it already, and 68% of you are saying yes, LeBron and the Cavs are done. Do you agree with the poll, Jason Martin?
I do, although if it becomes 2-1, if it comes back 2-2 and you have to beat LeBron James 2 out of 3 games, that's a tall order. But what Jeff Van Gundy said, and I mentioned this off the top as well, is that this is not a unified basketball team at all. These guys don't appear to like each other very much. There's no camaraderie happening at all. Like, if they mic'd up Tristan Thompson, and he seemed to be kind of into it, and he seemed to be kind of an energy guy on the floor, and some of the stuff he was saying was making a lot of sense. Looks like he has a pretty bright basketball mind. LeBron probably has the best basketball mind of all time. But the rest of that team, like, you don't see the talking. You don't see the kind of unification that you saw from the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens said before the game, we're going to take a heavyweight championship punch, and we know where it's coming from. Our success will depend upon how we answer it. So LeBron comes out there, and he punches you in the mouth. He gives you 21. But at the same time, Horford's hitting threes. Jaylen Brown's hitting threes. He has 21 in the first quarter, does LeBron, but they're only up 4. So when you come out for that second half, it was a very front-loaded performance, not just for LeBron, but for the Cavs. They were chasing out on the shooters. They were collapsing out, making it very, very difficult for the jump shots for the Celtics in the first half. But the Cavs only scored 39 points in the second half. As bad as their defense was, their offense was putrid. It was a 59-39 win in the second half for the Celtics. That's a team that is unraveling, and you saw that with J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith, let's talk about this for a minute, too. That J.R. Smith play
should have been gone.
I actually would be okay with J.R. Smith being suspended for a game. The Cavs may, by the way, be okay with J.R. Smith being suspended for a game, too. But when you saw that happen, to me, the NBA spends so much time, and to Van Gundy and Mark Jackson's credit, they were all over this. The NBA spends so much time looking at tape. Is this a flagrant one? Is this a flagrant two? When you shove a guy in the small of his back as he goes to the basket for a shot, Mark Jackson was correct on this. That starts a fight in many different places where you play basketball all over this country. If you do that in a pickup basketball game, in most college gyms, you're going to get in a shoving match at a minimum, and it might actually be a fight. If you do that in many pickup games all over the country, it might end in a fight, and your team is not even going to stand up for you. That's so far outside of the pale. And a lot of times when you're trying to challenge a shot at the basket or when you're trying to play defense and you try to block a shot, you can swing your arm and miss and hit somebody in the head. Somebody can make a step that you're not anticipating. You can run into them like we saw, frankly, happen with Jason Tatum and LeBron James in this game. That was not a physically violent play. It just sometimes happens that big, strong bodies end up running into each other, right? I mean, that happens in all sports, and everybody who's ever played one knows that. And the difference between what J.R. Smith did, he came out and put up a donut from the floor, by the way, didn't put up any points, should have gotten kicked out of the game, is emblematic, I think, of why I said earlier, this Cavs team, outside of LeBron, reminds me a lot of the Pistons when Jordan finally got past them. This dynastic team that is not going to accept being beaten well. And so I think this thing, that there's a good chance that there's going to be more physical altercations in this series as it continues. And I think J.R. Smith should have been kicked out of the game. And frankly, I wouldn't have a problem if they suspended him for game three. Now, I also don't think the Cavs would mind if they suspended him for game three, because I think this is kind of who J.R. Smith is, and I think he lives right there on the edge. He might come out and hit six threes for you, and then he can also come out and go 0-for-6 just as easily. Like, he doesn't ever seem to be average. He's either really on or he's worthless. And so, to me, that was emblematic of the overall Cavs effort and the way they played. It wasn't just that they got beaten. It was that they got their ass kicked.
Not only mentally
and physically.
Not only did they get their ass kicked, but Boston knew they could punk them, and they punked them. Marcus Morris shouting at Tristan Thompson after making that play down low in the second half, and then the J.R. Smith thing. Marcus Smart stood up for his teammate. Marcus Smart plays on the edge. He plays over the edge. You know what I'm thinking in my head? Draymond Green versus Marcus Smart in the NBA Finals? That would be entertaining to watch, but no question about it. I believe the Cavs are soft. I believe they are all soft, basically. LeBron's not soft, even though he's got that millennial touch. Tristan Thompson at times isn't, but he's got to be emotionally soft just because of how little we've seen him this season and certainly in the postseason. But that play by J.R. Smith's completely unacceptable. That was a dude that was 0-for-7, that was mad, that knew that they were about to
lose. Do you think he should get suspended?
Yes, absolutely. There's nothing. I mean, that's about as dangerous a thing as you can do is to catch somebody in the air from behind with a double-handed shove out of bounds. Mark Jackson said that would be the end of the game.
Yeah.
If it was on the streets.
Yeah, Horford, to his credit, responded so well there.
Yep.
By the way, and props to Smart for standing up for his teammate. But I thought that the way Horford responded, he hit the jumper from outside, but more importantly, he got the ball in the post and went right to the basket and got an and one and basically ended the game right there. I thought that was a great example of how you can be mentally tough. Guys in L.A., do you believe this series is over? Let me give you the most recent update in the poll question. Is this series over? Are the Cavs and LeBron done? All the vote is rolling in, and still right around 70% of you as we get over 4,000 votes. You can go vote. I'm at Clay Travis on Twitter. 70% of you now in the first 15 minutes, not a lot of belief in LeBron. Now, to be fair, the Cavs came back from a 3-1 series deficit. We know against the Warriors, it's been told ad infinitum. I still believe if Draymond Green doesn't get suspended for game five, that series probably ends in five. But the Cavs did come back from a 3-1 deficit. I'm sure that will be talked about a ton over the next 3 days as we wait for game three in this series to take place. But what do you guys think, Danny G and Justin? Are LeBron and the Cavs done?
Yeah, so obviously I had the Celtics prior to the series starting, and I'm going to stay with it. I had them yesterday winning that game too. I'm curious to see what happens in Cleveland, but Boston is just a better team, period.
Yep.
It's that simple. And so I just don't see LeBron being able to carry this team, the way he has carried past teams. You saw his body language yesterday. He just looks like he's done carrying them.
Yeah, and this could be, I mean, if you're buying into that game plan, this could be the last couple of games, theoretically, that LeBron James ever plays in Cleveland. Because I think there's a decent chance that that the Celtics can go in there and split. And if that happened and they got it to 3-1, first of all, we'll hear all over again, oh, LeBron's come back from 3-1 before. But they'll be going back to Boston with a chance to win their, what, ninth or tenth consecutive game at home in the playoffs and have an opportunity to basically wipe the floor with LeBron James. So I think there's a good chance they split. What about you, Justin? You think it's going to happen?
I mean, I think there's a good chance that they split. And I've always been saying from the beginning that I still thought that the Cavs were going to win this series. Now, I mean, I'm not as comfortable saying that. But
yeah, go figure.
But I will say that just knowing the way that the NBA, I'm not gonna sit here and suggest that it's rigged or anything like that. But you gotta imagine that it's gonna be evened up for dramatic effect. I can definitely see that happening.
If you're interested out there in what the updated odds are to win the NBA championship, the Warriors now -300, the Rockets +525, the Celtics 9-1. The Cavs are now 11-1, so the Warriors are just a prohibitive favorite, and that number will go off the charts if they win tonight, Game 2 on the road in Houston. The Warriors up 1-0, looking to make it 2-0. By the way, we haven't even hardly mentioned this at all, but we should. The Caps had a chance to basically end the Tampa Bay Lightning last night. The Lightning, to their credit, lost the first two at home, came roaring back to win Game 3. That series now 2-1, the Washington Capitals lead, with Game 4 in Washington coming up. And Vegas, big week for Vegas just in general. Sports gambling gets legalized, suddenly a lot of competition there. But the Vegas Golden Knights coming back home tonight for Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals in the NHL. That series tied up at one game apiece. All right, we're going to play some audio for you of Charles Barkley. Why is Charles Barkley so great? He said basically everything was over in the Rockets-Warriors series after what he saw in Game 1. Do you agree with Chuck? We will talk about that, and we will continue to break down this LeBron situation. I'll also open up the phone lines for the first time today. 877-996-6369 if you want to weigh in. Do you agree with me, J.R. Smith should have been suspended for what he did in that game? How would people have responded if you were playing pickup basketball and that happened on your court? Also, do you think that LeBron is done? Are the Cavs finished? I know they came back from 3-1, but they are now down 0-2, headed back to Cleveland. We'll take some of your calls. We'll play that Charles Barkley clip for you. Appreciate you spending your Wednesday morning with us. This is Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio. Car shopping can be confusing with terms like dealer price, list price, and invoice. TrueCar shows you what other people paid for the car you want, so you can recognize a good price. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Let me take a couple of your calls here, and then we're going to play you some great audio from Charles Barkley. But first, let's go to Ron in Oakland. What's up, Ron?
Clay, what's up, buddy? I got a quick story about a J.R. Smith type thing that happened when I was playing basketball. So a little quick backstory. I'm 6'5". I'm in very good shape, not to brag. I got a buddy that's about a hair under 6 feet tall. So we're out there playing, and he's getting kind of worked up and down the court, and there's this big dude on the other team that I'm guarding. Well, my buddy decides that this guy goes to the corner. He's going to shove him out of bounds because he's just getting worked all game. Shoves him out of bounds. Guy stands up, plants his feet, and delivers a textbook lead right hand and just clobbers my friend. So I'm like, dang, what am I going to do here? My buddy is flat out knocked out. The other guy's friend comes up to him and is like, bro, we can't play here no more. And they bounce. Ambulance comes, picks my friend up. I go with him to the hospital. He goes into surgery. He has to get something done to his lip. It's like some deviated something. He comes out of surgery and goes, dude, why didn't you help me? I was all, bro, you caused that whole mess. So, yes, J.R. Smith should be absolutely suspended.
How many people were in the game when this happened?
This was 5-on-5. There's two full court, there's basically two full court outdoor courts about 10 miles from my house. We used to go play there on summer nights.
So what happens with everybody else? Does the game just end when your buddy gets knocked out?
Oh, God, yes. They're like, oh, and then everyone just bounced, including the guy that delivered the textbook right, and then his buddy that said, man, we can't play here no more.
Thanks for the call, Ron. I got to tell you, yeah. J.R. Smith, if that happens in most places, Most places in America, if you shove somebody from behind like J.R. Smith did, then there's a fight that ensues, right? Or at the minimum, a lot of shoving. And the guy who does the shoving, you know, the J.R. Smith player, nobody's standing up for him. Nobody at all. Let's go to James in Louisiana. James, what's up?
Hey, Clay, I wanted to say that I do believe LeBron is done in this series. I believe it's about time he's going to lay down like the millennial he is most of the time. So I believe he is done in this series for sure. But I also wanted to make the point, I know you mentioned it several times, that the run that Golden State's on, it is a nice run. They're now, I guess, what, 25-3?
Yep, 25-3. The incredible stat to me, and this is one that's just mind-blowing, is that they have now been involved in 7 series, all right? 7 different opponents, 6 of them they have beaten. If you combine all 7 of those opponents and what they have done against Golden State, they have yet to win a 7-game series against them. Golden State is 25-3. Nobody else, none of those 7 teams combined, have even won 4 games against them yet.
But it's also not completely unprecedented. The year Cleveland won the championship, if you look at their 4 series that year, they went sweep, 4-2, 4-3 to beat Golden State, and then they went sweep to start the next year. So over those 6 series, they were 24-5. Now, that does eliminate your point of all the teams combined couldn't win a series.
That's a great point. I think it's also worth pointing out that that was against the Eastern Conference, most of those games, whereas what Golden State has done has been against the Western Conference, which I think most people out there listening would agree is the superior side of basketball.
Yep.
Good stuff. It's a good call from James, 877-996-6369. Speaking of Golden State and their dominance, Charles Barkley on Inside the NBA, which is the best related to sports show, I would say, in the country. I've always been a big Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon fan, so I think PTI is a high-level show. I love both of those guys, long have, since I used to read their columns back when I was a college student at George Washington up in Washington, D.C., but I got to tell you, what they regularly do on Inside the NBA is pretty fantastic. Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, Ernie Johnson, and Kenny Smith. And this is what it sounded like after Game 1. TNT has the Western Conference Finals this year. Barkley and everybody else was excited to see what was going to happen between the Warriors and the Rockets. As soon as that game was over, Charles Barkley, he was in mourning.
Right about Kenny the Jet Smith and Charles Barkley. What?
I am just so depressed right now.
Don't tell him,
Chuck. Hey, I listen, I am hurt tonight.
This should not be a time of depression. This is like the third time in the playoffs you've said, I'm so depressed. I think one time was when what, Toronto was losing or Philadelphia?
Yeah, because you could earn it because.
And why are you so depressed tonight?
Anybody who thinks the Rockets going to win a game or win this series is an idiot.
You're declaring this a sweep
this
after one game?
This is over, Ernie.
There's no way you're going to beat the mighty Golden State Warriors. One or two guys taking all the shots.
No, you can't earn it. Listen, you just see this game. The Rockets can't beat them. Like I said, I picked the Warriors in 5.
Can they win a game?
No. They're not going to win a game.
What if they just have the others hitting a couple shots, hard and Paul goes off?
Hey, I picked the Warriors in 5. I want to tell you, I'm taking the Warriors in 3.
The Warriors in 3. Charles Barkley after game 1. We'll see whether or not there might be a response that's a little bit better from the Rockets tonight as they try to avoid going down 0-2 at home. Michael in Boca Raton, Florida. He's got a good story. What's up, Michael?
Morning, Clay. Hey, you know, I was involved high school basketball for a long, long time, and I had a young man do a two-hander and a back to a young man who was going up for a layup. Freeze did their job in kicking him out of the game, but I took his jersey for the rest of the year. I didn't let him back out on the court. I really felt like when you wanted to take control of another human being's body when they were in the air, that just meant that you couldn't play for me. Or represent the school at that point, because that's just how serious that act is. You cannot do that to another person.
How long, I'm curious on this, how much time was left on the season at that point?
We were about halfway through. We were in January, and it finished up at the end of February.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a strong move. How did the rest of the team respond?
They were fine with it. They understood that was just not that was not representative of the work that was being done in the gym every day, and that was not representative of what was on the front or the back of anybody's jersey. And you just can't stand for it. So yeah. You do what you got to do.
Good stuff, Michael in Boca Raton. Good story there. Let me go to Jeff in – we just lost Jeff in North Dakota, I think. I'll leave the calls open, 877-996-6369. Let me let Jason Martin field these, and I will go to Eddie Garcia, find out what's shaking in the world of sports.
All right, Clay, we'll start with your GEICO playoff report in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA playoffs. The Celtics down the Cavaliers 107-94. Jaylen Brown led Boston with 23 points. He was one of six different Celtics players to score in double digits. Boston now 9-0 at home this postseason, and they lead Cleveland in the series 2-0. Cavs lose despite a big game from LeBron James, a triple-double, 42 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists. NHL playoffs, Game 3 Eastern Conference Finals, Lightning over the Capitals in D.C. 4-2. It was Tampa Bay defenseman Victor Hedman with a goal and two assists in the win. Washington still has the 2-1 series lead. The road team's won every game so far in the series. This report brought to you by TrueCar. Online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from TrueCar. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car, so visit TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. And back to the NBA, where the Phoenix Suns won the NBA draft lottery. They'll have the number one overall pick for the first time in franchise history. Sacramento Kings will pick second. Atlanta Hawks will pick third. Now back to Clay Travis and the GEICO Outkick the Coverage Studios.
Good stuff, as always, Eddie Garcia there. A couple different people wanting to react. Let's go to, who should I go to first, Jason Martin? Who do you think? Brandon?
Let's go to Jeff in Fargo. He called us back.
All right, Jeff in Fargo. What's up, Jeff?
Yep.
Yeah, you called us. What's up, man?
Oh, am I on?
Yes, you're on the radio.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just need your head on something. I really do. You know, let's say LeBron ends this thing and he doesn't make it and he goes to another team. Is it your opinion, and I've heard all this stuff, is it your opinion that LeBron, he takes over everything? He out-coaches the coach. He gets his own players. He's in charge of everything. Who in their right mind would like that in a locker room? I don't care if it's Philly or Houston. The dynamic of all about LeBron, in my opinion, would completely cripple that team. It would not be team anymore.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. By the way, how about you assume that you're on the radio? This is something that I've always thought. I've been hosting Sports Talk Radio for a long time. Is there any harm in you pretending that you are on the radio? Like, if I go to you and you're not sure if I'm talking to you, why? There's a couple of things that people do that regularly drive me insane when they're callers. One is correct the name. Your name really doesn't matter. Your name could be anything. If it sounds remotely like your name, start talking. It's not like you give your first and last name and your social security number when you're coming on the show. I have no idea whether your name is what you say your name is. So one, regardless of whether the name is perfect, just start talking. Two, don't ask, are you on? Assume you're on and keep talking. And if somebody else's voice comes into your ear and they're talking with me instead, you haven't lost anything. Pro tip. I think LeBron, look, I think that the Houston Rockets know that there's no way they can beat the Golden State Warriors right now. I think in their heart and in their heads, based on what they saw in Game 1, and I think what they're likely to see in Game 2. With that being the case, I think that you have to make sure that you get whatever assets you can to give the Golden State Warriors a run. The Rockets with LeBron have a much better chance to beat the Warriors than the Rockets without LeBron. I believe the 76ers without LeBron have a much less chance of contending for a championship than the 76ers with LeBron. And I don't think LeBron in the locker room is such an amazing distraction that he's going to make you worse. So I'm not concerned about that personally. Let's go to Brandon in Nashville. What's up, Brandon? Sometimes I want to murder the callers. Right after I give that pep talk on the importance of being ready to go, what happens? Brandon in Nashville is not ready to go. So people say, why do you take calls? Say, sometimes you get good calls. All too often, not as good. Steve in Myrtle Beach, what's up?
Hey, look, I'm a huge LeBron fan, and I love seeing him in the finals, but I can't remember anyone going into this playoffs thinking that the Cavs had a shot against Golden State. aren't you kind of excited to see the Celtics go against Golden State? Wouldn't it just be a better matchup?
I think the Celtics play better defense than the Cavs. I think the Celtics have no chance against the Warriors either. I think it'll be a sweep. I think it'll be fun. Next year, I think it'll be a lot more interesting because Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward will make this matchup, which I think we'll likely see next year in the finals, a lot more entertaining. But I think the Warriors are going to win in five or four, no matter who they play. I think LeBron at least is a big storyline, a big figure that everybody cares about. Whether you like LeBron or not, you are going to pay attention to him. He's got that cachet over 15 years in the league. You're a LeBron guy or you're not a LeBron guy. And so I think that has a substantial impact in terms of people's interest. I personally would rather watch LeBron James and the Cavs play against the Warriors than I would the Celtics. Now, I understand that I might be in the minority there, but I think beyond a shadow of a doubt, to me, that is the better, more interesting matchup, even though it's the fourth straight year we would have seen it. Brandon in Nashville is called back in. Brandon, what's up?
Hey, brother. Man, been listening to you since the Zone days and the Dixieland Delight days. Love your stuff, man. Guys, the rest of the country is getting to hear you. Just wanted to call in real quick. I think this series is over. I hate to say that, but I think the Celtics are the better team. I do want to bring up an issue real quick with the guy that called a couple minutes ago about LeBron being a millennial and laying down and all that stuff. And I, you know, you just heard on the break real quick that LeBron had a triple-double last night and is carrying this team every series. And I just think it's funny that people still have that perception about LeBron, that he's a millennial, doesn't want to take the last shot, he's not clutch or whatever. And I don't know any player growing up in my 42 years that has carried a team more than LeBron has carried the Cavs or any other team for the last several years.
Thanks for the call. I think it's a good call.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
Thanks for the feedback. Glad you've been listening for a while. Here's my thing. I think it's perfectly fair to call LeBron James a millennial. And when I say that LeBron James is the quintessential millennial, when I say it, not when a caller says it, but when I say it, what I mean is he is he's very focused on himself. He is mopey. He is all about his emotions. LeBron James is so emotional. Whether it's fake drawing an elbow or a bump and he goes flying down to the court like he's just gotten hit by a Mack truck, or whether it is constantly getting on Instagram and social media and tweeting out like all these cryptic thoughts about his life experience as an NBA player and his teammate relationships and everything else. LeBron, like most millennials, is all about LeBron. And he's about you needing to know how he feels all the time. And I think that's a big reason why the people who don't like LeBron don't like LeBron. I don't care about your personal feelings, LeBron James. This is me. I want you to be excellent on the basketball court. I don't care about your Instagram posts. I don't care about your political opinions. I don't care about your larger societal views. I just enjoy watching you play basketball. Just like I feel about superheroes when I go to the movie theater. You know what? I didn't care and I don't care about what Princess Leia or Luke Skywalker or Han Solo thinks outside of their role as Princess Leia, Han Solo, and Luke Skywalker. There's never been a point in time where I'm like, I wonder what Mark Hamill thinks about geopolitical relations in a Donald Trump era. There's never been a point in time where I sit down a movie theater and I'm like, man, I can't wait to watch this Avengers movie. But before it starts, I wonder what these guys think about North Korea. Never been a time that's happened. And so I don't care about your feelings. And that goes to everybody out there right now. I hope you're happy. I hope your life is spectacular, but I don't care. I don't care at all, unless it's a funny story and you want to share it on the show. Otherwise, I don't care very much about your feelings. And I think LeBron is the quintessential millennial because he is so obsessed with all of us hearing about his feelings all the time. And a lot of the media that covers him are also quintessential millennials. I'm not that way. I just like to watch athletes play sports. I love LeBron's talent. I very frequently hate the way he carries himself in a personality. And to be fair, that's about the way he carries himself, not about the off-the-court issues he might have had, because he's never had none. Never had any. He's been a great guy off the court so far as we know. I just think he's an ultimate millennial. Great player. Team's not very good. He's carrying him as far as he can, and I think that's just about to where he is right now. I think the Celtics are going to win this series. We'll come back. We'll finish off the show next. Final segment of Outkick the Coverage Wednesday edition here on Fox Sports Radio. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. Now, you guys know I'm not the kind of guy who draws attention to himself, not the kind of guy to brag, not the kind of guy to say, hey, look at me. But, hey, I'm about to brag, look at me. What was it, Tuesday or Monday? I can't remember what day. What day do we have the Chick-fil-A versus everybody else?
I believe it was Monday because it's coming out of LeBron.
Yeah, okay. So Chick-fil-A versus everybody else was Monday on the show. We had like 35,000 votes in that poll question. 80% of you said Chick-fil-A was a better fast food restaurant than any other fast food restaurant in the country. And so I got this email yesterday from Chick-fil-A. My name is Megan, and I am a tour guide at the Chick-fil-A corporate office. This is 100% real. We have noticed that you are quite the Chick-fil-A fan, which means we are a fan of you. And we couldn't help but notice your last debate where you asked the question, Chick-fil-A versus everybody. Although we think we know your answer, we want to make sure of it. Therefore, we would love to extend an invitation to you and your family and friends to come down and tour our headquarters on a Chick-fil-A backstage tour. The tour would include our test kitchen, the Nest, our innovation training hub, and our main building. In our main building, we will tour our history museum, Truett's car collection, and Truett Cathy's office. Not only that, we would love to invite you to dine at our employee cafe. We thank you for being a loyal Chick-fil-A customer, and again, would love to share more about our history and culture that makes them the best fast food restaurant in the business. Please let me know if you're interested, and we can set up a date and time. Boom. That's going to be a lot of fun. They are down outside of Atlanta, so I'm not sure when I'll be in Atlanta next. We may be able to do a live remote from Chick-fil-A corporate headquarters, which would be pretty phenomenal. I want to get a couple more of your calls in here to finish off the show. My thanks to Chick-fil-A, and my thanks to all of you for being so engaged in the show and for making everything so remarkably spectacular. All right, be fast. Zach in Phoenix, what you got?
I took your advice. I'm ready to go on this call, Clay. But in my opinion, when you have a guy like LeBron and he depends so much on his teammates, guys like Kyrie, guys like Ray Allen, guys like D-Wade, and you don't have those guys anymore, it's almost impossible to replicate what you did in the past with those guys, with guys like Jordan Clarkson, George Hill, Rodney Hood. I think he's dead in the water.
I agree with you. I don't think there's anything you can say of a negative nature about LeBron James's performance. He was not very good in game one, but if you've watched him play every game in this postseason, as I have, I think it's fair to say that LeBron James has done everything in his power to make the Cavs as good as he possibly can. He's gone over 45 times in the postseason. Last night, he went for 42, 12, and 10. Now, he did have six turnovers, but I think that's merely a function of how hard he's having to play to try and put them into a position to succeed. And I don't really think you can criticize LeBron for any of this. Patrick in Indiana. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Clay, what's going on? LeBron James actually is to blame for this entire failure. He's the one that assembled this team. Tyronn Lue is just a puppet. LeBron has always been the head coach at every team he's been to. He threw David Blatt under the bus. Tyronn Lue is gone. They even wanted to get Spoelstra out of Miami whenever that failure started to happen.
Yeah, here's where I think, thanks for the call, Patrick, in Indiana. Here's where I think you can blame LeBron. To the extent that he was in any way responsible for Kyrie Irving wanting out of Cleveland, that's where you can blame LeBron James. Because Kyrie Irving, I think, decided, I don't want to be here with LeBron James. Was that a personal discord? Did they not get along? Kobe and Shaq managed to make it work for a while. Certainly other guys who have been at each other's throats have had levels of success. And Kyrie and LeBron won a title. But if you want to blame LeBron for this team, I think that's the only place you can really blame him. For the interpersonal relationship failure with Kyrie Irving. And we don't know enough about what exactly happened there Kyrie wanted out to be more of the guy. He seems like a pretty good teammate on the bench in Boston right now. And I think it's probably good for Kyrie Irving to see that this Boston team can be really good without him. But to me, in general, that's the biggest criticism you can make of LeBron James. He doesn't have the horses to win a championship, and one of the reasons is because Kyrie Irving is gone, probably the primary reason. Now, also on top of that, I think you can criticize LeBron James because he said, guess what, Tristan Thompson needs to get $16 or $17 million a year. I don't know that there was any other team out there that would have given Tristan Thompson this amount of money. I think the Cavs drastically overpaid for him. I think Kevin Love's a really good player. But the Cavs do not have three good players now. They got two, and Kevin Love's not that consistent. And I think that's the biggest criticism you can give of LeBron. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for hanging here on OutKick.